Hello, team, and welcome to today's podcast titled Coffee with the Command, our first installment in a fireside chat of sorts on a host of important topics, including some of your questions with the senior leadership here at the edge of the frontier. I'm Major Drew Kinney, and with us today are the Commanding General and Command Sergeant Major of the U.S. Army Intelligence Center of Excellence in Fort Huachuca, Major General Tony Hale and Command Sergeant Major Tammy Everett. Sir, Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Drew.
So as we dive right into it, as always, there's always a lot going on at USACO and Fort Huachuca, especially coming right out of the holidays. It's been a recent set of busy weeks, so lots to talk about. But before I turn it over to you, sir, to talk to some of your opening remarks, I just wanted to highlight for our audience something that's evident from my level on the command staff is how the both of you remain in lockstep on a united front in the information space, because that's a lot of what Fort Huachuca, Sierra Vista, and the MI Corps writ large gets to see. The content that you continue to capture, share, and post online, it really highlights how transparent you are at the top. So, sir, I know you've been keen on consistency of message and getting that narrative from the boardroom to the basement, especially with regards to your one priority and your three objectives. So, sir, as we start with you, could you please shed some light on that for the listeners as we hear your opening remarks?
Yeah, great, Drew. And for the audience, I really appreciate everybody taking the time out during your travels, during your PT, to listen to the podcast here with the Sergeant Major I. And this is really just another venue. As I started doing podcasts about 3 to 4 months ago, when Chief Anderson and I did the first podcast on MI Doctrine at Fort Leavenworth, I thought, wow, that is a great venue to get out information, not only to the MI Corps in Fort Huachuca, but to everybody about our priority here at the edge of the frontier, as well as our three objectives. And you quoted my phrase there, how do you get information from the boardroom, which I consider USACO headquarters, to the basement, which is the lowest soldier private on the installation, where he or she knows what's going on their installation, in their MI Corps, and in some sorts in the world in general. So when I came on board now 18 months ago, which really just feels like yesterday, we had an off-site session early on within the first 90 days after I conducted an assessment. And I wanted to lay out my priorities and objectives for the command moving forward. And in line with the Army, TRADOC, Training and Doctrine Command, and CAC, the Combined Arms Center, my number one priority is people. And that's taking care of people. And early on in my career as a lieutenant, there was a slogan on the side of 164 Armor at Fort Stewart, Georgia, that said, mission first, people always. And I've put a different spin over that over the last 2 years, and it's people first, mission always, because I say if you take care of your people, you won't have to worry about accomplishing the mission. We also have three objectives. First objective is to build leaders. We train from private to colonel at Fort Huachuca and for our MI Corps. And I take that very seriously, building leaders of the future. As we move from counterinsurgency and counterterrorism operations to large-scale combat operations. That's what I did when I first came in the Army in 1988, large-scale combat operations. And it seems as my career has taken a full circle now back to large-scale combat operations. The second objective is to drive change. That's driving change in not only our training here at Fort Huachuca, but also our modernization and our doctrine. And we can do that in so many ways as we prepare for the future. And then the third objective is exactly what we're doing here today, and that's inform. Getting the message out on social media platforms, on email, in person. I don't command a desk or a computer. I command soldiers. I command by walking around, and seeing soldiers, and being able to do that last week was incredibly informative for me. But you can never do enough to get your message out. And the message has to be consistent. If I change my priorities and objectives every month, we would never get anything accomplished. No one would ever know what I'm focused on. So priority, people, objectives, build leaders, drive change, and inform.
Sir, excellent insight. Thank you for sharing. And I think you live that mantra to continue to take care of the people, place the people first. And I know a topic that you wanted to discuss with regards to the health and welfare of our force was new COVID-19 mitigation measures. As Omicron variant continues to impact the entire country, this was a follow-up to the video that you and Sergeant Major Everett filmed earlier this month and put on social media. I wanted to ask, as we head into the final week of January, are there any important updates that you'd like to either reiterate or share for our workforce?
Yeah, Drew, I watch COVID numbers on the installation in the county, around the state, and across the nation on a daily basis. I get an update from our medical treatment commander every day on the number of cases on the installation, and we break that down in categories of uniform, civilian, contractor, dependents, and retirees, because we're responsible for that entire population as the senior mission commander of Fort Huachuca. Let me just say first off that the vaccine and the vaccine policy, and I know where we are with regards to the Department of Defense and the Army, it's mandatory for us to get vaccinated as DOD and Army service members. There's also a process to submit an exception to policy if you feel that medically or administratively you would like to try to get an exception to policy to not take the vaccine for a variety of reasons. I'm not going to get into that. The process is pretty clear. It's been laid out in black and white by the Department of the Army and the Secretary of the Army. And we have to follow policy on that. But across the nation, there are over 850,000 deaths the last time I checked, somewhere in that ballpark. But in DOD, there have been 91 deaths in now almost 2 years. So what's that tell me? Okay, one, our soldier is more physically fit, doesn't have some of the underlying medical conditions that potentially has caused a lot of deaths due to COVID across the nation. I can also tell you that we've had a vaccine mandate now for a little over a year. So taking the vaccine, in which at Fort Huachuca, we're about 98.2% vaccinated, it shows that the vaccine does work. Now, am I saying that you're not going to get COVID if you've been vaccinated and or boosted? Not at all. But what I will tell you is that the symptoms are much less severe, and the likelihood of hospitalization is pretty much 0% for someone who's been fully vaccinated. And now, of course, we have the booster that's coming online. 31 active duty deaths due to COVID. And most of those had underlying medical conditions. 31 active duty. 59 Compo 2 and 3, that's Guard and Reserve deaths throughout the COVID pandemic. So you see our numbers are less than 100. I think 32 and 59 is 92, if I do public math. Hopefully that's right. But as we came out of the holidays and we, of course, saw the Omicron variant raging across the nation in early December, knowing that putting 2,300 students on holiday block leave to go to Anywhere USA, we needed to protect ourselves when we came back to protect our mission here at Fort Huachuca for our nation, training intel soldiers, and to also protect our community. So we did put in some additional mitigation measures throughout the holidays, and we're currently looking at mitigation measures now as we continue into the new year. So what did I do? So back on January the 4th, we released our Army order, We sunset the general orders. Now we're using Army orders to announce and put in place our restrictions for COVID-19. So right now, throughout the month of January, at the 06 level or directorate level leader, we're authorizing maximum telework. From what I see across the installation and the local community is that the Omicron variant is now and has been for the last 2 weeks the number one variant in Cochise County. And that spreads very rapidly. Sometimes you read information that cloth masks, as an example, don't stop the spread of Omicron. It has to be a medical grade mask. We also have, of course, put in a request, and we've actually started buying some medical grade masks here at USACO for our students and our soldiers to be issued a medical grade mask to help against the Omicron variant. Most folks, of course, as we've been in this for 2 years, have a mask. I think I have a couple dozen masks all around me at any given time. I keep an extra in my pocket, you know, in case I lose the one that's wrapped around my neck. The other thing we did is we kind of limited the number of in-person people that can be present for meetings. We're going to utilize MS Teams. We're going to utilize VTCs to have large meetings to still accomplish the same message. So I limited in-person meetings to 10 people or at minimum 6 feet social distancing if the room is large enough to hold more than 10 people. We've also put in place the mask requirement for both on the installation, in which was Deputy SecDef directed, and now off the installation for all service members. If you go into a facility off the installation, it is a requirement by me to wear a mask. If you violate my requirement, that could mean UCMJ or administrative actions. But as you go downtown, you can see here in Sierra Vista and Cochise County, there's not a mask mandate. So I wanted to put in extra protection measures for the community. As we came out of the holidays, as people came back from their holiday leaves with family and friends from across the country and potentially some who went overseas for holiday leaves. But I can tell you, about 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to use specific numbers, but 2 weeks ago on the installation, we peaked to the highest number of COVID cases that we have had since March of 2020 when the pandemic began. Today, we are back into the numbers where we were leading up to holiday block leave. And right now, we're just in, you know, a couple of dozen or so service members that are COVID positive. But when we don't protect ourselves, it has an impact on our mission here at Fort Huachuca. Even with the isolation now down to 5 days, even with the quarantine for specific members, depending upon your status with vaccination being either 5 days or 10 days, it has an impact. An impact on soldiers, cadre members executing their mission here on Fort Huachuca. Has an impact on students learning their tradecraft to become subject matter experts in their field of the intelligence professional. It affects our child development services, our school-age services, our Fort Huachuca accommodation schools, when students have to be put into isolation or quarantine. Having COVID may not be a big issue as far as your medical condition. Omicron is like a simple cold, maybe a severe cold, depending upon how your immune system reacts, but it has an impact on our mission here at Fort Huachuca. So I just asked everyone to follow the mitigation measures, get vaccinated if you're not vaccinated. If you have questions about the vaccine, talk to your medical provider where they can give you the specific medical information about the vaccine, vice reading and listening to everything on social media, which is some mis- and disinformation about COVID-19.
Sir, you strike a lot of great points there. And then what you just ended with, there's a lot of information out there. social media, in the news, you name it, that speaks to COVID-19. Some promising, though, recent headline that some of the areas that were initially hit with the Omicron variant are seeing some of that trending in a positive direction to where there's less cases.
And Drew, you're exactly right. So coming out of holiday block leave, we anticipated that we would have some high numbers, and we did. Those high numbers lasted from about the 4th of January when the students started coming back until about the 16th, 17th, heading into the Martin Luther King holiday weekend. We didn't allow our students to go off post on Martin Luther King weekend just to continue to help ourselves get better in the COVID posture. This weekend, tomorrow, our students are going to be able to go off post if they're in phase 5 and 5 plus. Because, as I said, the community doesn't have a mask mandate. But I expect to see students downtown tomorrow, if they're in a facility, wearing a mask. And I think the brigade commander is even going to lift the restriction on the BOLIC class and potentially the MAS-Ts, where they were limited to Sierra Vista. So he may lift that as well. But I won't get ahead of him. But as we get better, then we can ease our restrictions and mitigation measures because we're taking care of ourselves and we're always doing the right thing.
Yes, sir. And that's what the Fort Huachuca community wants to hear. And Sergeant Major, looping you in, continuing along the thread of health and welfare of the force, now talking medical readiness. Do you have any concerns that you'd like to share regarding our personnel? What are some of the things that we're doing right, as well as some of the areas in Fort Huachuca that we need to improve upon?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So for consistency of messaging, I'll say it again. You know, people is the only and number one priority of the CG here at USACO. And taking care of people means ensuring they're medically ready. The medical readiness of our soldiers directly affects the operational readiness of the intel warfighting function. And leader engagement is essential to ensuring our soldiers are medically ready. Here at Fort Huachuca, the vaccination rodeos have been an overwhelmingly success, and I'm really proud of the support from the community and the numbers that have come. I think the one I actually went to a couple weeks ago to get my booster shot, there was over like 700 people that came to get a myriad of vaccinations, so that's great. And the Arbuck team has done a really good job with vaccinations. Here at USACO, you know, what we need to continue to do is just get our mandatory vaccinations. It's flu season. We're supposed to be, by the 14th of January, we're supposed to be at 90% at USACO. We're there. Unfortunately, though, our med pros doesn't match up. So we got to make sure we're using the system of record because, of course, that's how our higher headquarters, you know, tracks our medical readiness. And then just for, you know, all the listeners out there in the community, get your mandatory vaccinations, COVID and flu. And then for those that are eligible, I just encourage you to get your booster shot. You know, that's the number one way that we can fight this. And just make sure that we're prepared to fight and win the next engagement that we're involved in.
Great points. Thank you, Sergeant Major. And sir, shifting focus along to force protection, we know that you wanted to speak on driving safety and speeding here on Fort Huachuca. And from the installation fact sheet that I pulled at the end of 2021, there's over 13,000 people stationed here at Huachuca, whether in a PCS or TDY status. A little over half of that is civilians, so you got family members. So we know this is quite important. Could you share some of your thoughts, sir?
So I asked to speak about force protection on the installation. You know, I think by the crow flying, we're about 15 miles from the border. We have had some issues with illegal immigrants coming on to Fort Huachuca, but not in any massive numbers. You know, it's kind of a handful. But we have had some incidences of late where we have had what we call runners through the Van Diemen Gate. So in early December, we had a car come through the Van Diemen Gate with five personnel in the car, ran through the checkpoint there, and our great force protection team, our gate guards, enacted the catch system, which is our barrier system at the front gate there, and stopped that car, in which the driver was wanted on several arrest warrants in the state of California. Everyone in the car, minus the passenger in the front seat, got out and ran. Our force protection team was able to capture over the next 24 hours those personnel in that car. But like I said, the driver, who was immediately captured, had 5 arrest warrants from the state of California. Then a couple of weeks later, just a couple of days after Christmas, we had a driver speed through the gate. Our catch system had not been repaired yet because it's a special system that takes a special contract to come out. And of course, we don't have a catch system standing by to put up when we use our first one because it cost several hundred thousands of dollars. And our great MP team was in chase of the car, and the female driver flipped the car right on Hatfield Road into the wall of a residential area. Now, what if children had been playing on the other side of that wall? We could have had a really major bad event here on Fort Huachuca. But fortunately, our force protection team, our security forces did a great job and have protected the installation. Now, due to my schedule, folks will catch me running early in the morning between 6 and 7 o'clock, and right now it's still dark between 6 and 7 o'clock.
It's very dark.
I have a little route that normally is my 5-mile route that I leave my quarters and I head out around the backside of a post down Windrow and head to Squire, I think it is, and then cut back up by the schools and come back through IHG, et cetera. And 2 weeks ago, I was almost hit twice in the same week due to drivers who are speeding up Windrow coming from the Buffalo Soldier Gate heading to Old Post. Of course, it was dark, and I was either on the side of the road or on the little asphalt trail there that goes down Windrow. But even up in the housing area of Windrow, where you make the curve to go around to the circle one morning, you know, I'm crossing the road, and, you know, I look to see if there's any vehicles coming, and, you know, as I head out onto the crossing, you know, a car is going at least 50 miles an hour coming up Windrow to make the curve to go to the roundabout. The speed limit's 25 miles an hour on Windrow. And I mentioned that to the garrison commander because at that same time, we have kids going to school. We have our crossing guards out to stop traffic when they cross the street. But we also have kids waiting for the school to open as some parents drop their kids off early before the schoolyard opens for school due to whatever reason. And as I was running by the school after almost getting hit and saw a bunch of kids out waiting for the gates to be open of the school, you know, I asked, what time does the gates normally open for you to get into the school? And they said, you know, around 7:40, 7:45. Well, this was a few minutes after 7 that children were already waiting to be let into school. And that morning was probably about 32, 34 degrees, a little bit cold out for the kids to be waiting. But the speed on the installation has an effect not only on our service members, our civilians, but also our dependents, and in especially children early in the morning. As it's dark and they're heading to school. So I would just ask everybody to watch their speed on the installation. And our MPs and Department of Defense Protective Service personnel have been doing a great job. I read the blotter every day. There's lots of speeding tickets, you know, every week. But I just ask others to be considerate as they're traveling across the installation. If you're going to be late, okay, be late. But just don't speed. You know, I'm riding around the installation. My wife's like, why are you going so slow? Because I'm driving 5 miles under the speed limit on my installation. what would it look like if the CG got a speeding ticket on Fort Huachuca? Not good, right, Sergeant Major?
You wouldn't be able to tell us anything, sir.
So I just asked everybody to watch their speed driving around the installation, and that's for everybody because we want to protect ourselves as well.
So to our listeners out there, especially if you're here in the Huachuca community, just go ahead and slow down, remain vigilant. And if you see an extra MP across the, you know, around the streets, they're doing it for the safety of our soldiers and our families. So shifting focus to our next question, we're almost through the month of January. I'll start with you, Sergeant Major Everett, but then tee it up for you, sir, as well. As we look ahead to 2022, there's a lot of key upcoming events. Are there some that you could speak to?
Yeah, absolutely, sir. There's I'll focus on the enlisted specific upcoming events. The first one I'm really excited about is on the 28th of January, and we're doing it via MS Teams. And it's going to be the first NCODP that I do as the MI Corps Sergeant Major, and it directly, you know, links to the CG's objective of inform and building leaders through informing them. So we're gonna have the NCO Academy. Sergeant Major Townsend's going to talk about some of the initiatives they're doing in SLC. Sergeant Major Hobbs, the OCME Sergeant Major, is going to talk about the knowledge, skills, and behavior storyboards they're doing and how that's going to link to IPSA. She's going to talk about the Staff Sergeant recalibration. And then we're going to bring in Sergeant Major Soupies from CDID and talk about the work that they're doing for the future force. So, again, that's 28 January on MS Teams. It's directly designed for the enlisted force, but, of course, everyone can listen in. The more people that are informed, the better we're going to be as an Intel Corps. And then the next one I'm really, really excited about is 15-16 March. We're going to hold an MI Sergeant Major Working Group, COVID dependent, of course. We're going to adhere to all the constraints and keep it at 50 or less. But we're really going to talk about the future of enlisted force. We're going to have some working groups and build on the Staff Sergeant recalibration and talk about what does it mean to define a key development position for the MI enlisted NCO. So I'm really excited about that. Those are just two things that I'm working from my end, and I'll turn it over to the CG to talk about some things.
Yeah, so it's exciting to be at the edge of the frontier. So today we have the first performance aircraft from the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds arriving back at Fort Huachuca. If some of our listeners remember, back in the November time frame, the Thunderbirds came out here with three of their performance aircraft to do some tests to see if Fort Huachuca was a viable location for their winter training. So beginning today, the Thunderbirds are coming back to Fort Huachuca. They love the airspace that we have here. They love the terrain that's around Fort Huachuca, and they love the support of the installation thanks to the great USACO and Garrison teams that have made that happen. So today, one performance aircraft coming to Libby Army Airfield. Over the weekend, three C-17s will arrive with all of their equipment. So you're going to see activity in and around Fort Huachuca. You're going to think that we're the center of the universe and we're deploying paratroopers from Fort Bragg.
But, don't be alarmed.
But don't be alarmed. This is all goodness. Three C-17s coming in over the weekend, and then on Monday, seven additional performance aircraft arrive for their total of eight as a complement from the Thunderbirds. And they're here for a couple of weeks training in our airspace. You know, that's not only good for the installation, it's good for the community. Think about the resources and support requirements that the Air Force Thunderbirds need to stay here for 2 weeks to conduct training every day. We're talking, you know, Air Force Thunderbirds don't just come with eight aircraft and a couple of maintenance people to work on those aircraft. They come with, you know, support package to include a public affairs officer because that's, you know, their mission is to message the American people. So that's great. So just be on the lookout for that. Watch the great training that they're doing above in our skies. And that's a great event for Fort Huachuca. You know, the other thing I'm really excited about, and I compliment 3 Corps, 3rd Army Corps there at Fort Hood, Texas.
Phantom Warriors.
Phantom Warriors, right, Sergeant Major, being the former Phantom G2 Sergeant Major. They're having an MI week next week. You know, great initiative by the Corps G2 and that team there at Fort Hood. I think the Sergeant Major and I are going to actually be able to get to Fort Hood and be on a panel talking to all the intel professionals around of Fort Hood and the area there. I would tell you that at the end of February, we're tracking 23 and 24 February, we've got General Retired Vince Brooks coming back to Fort Huachuca. He came out last Labor Day for a couple of meetings with a company that he works for, but he's coming back in February specifically to conduct LPDs with our students, with our permanent party here on the installation. And what a great, not only American, great officer, but great leader. Stacy and I hosted he and his wife Carol for dinner when they were here over the Labor Day weekend. We gave him a windshield tour of Fort Huachuca. I talked to him about our Buffalo Soldier Electronic Test and Training Range initiative. I talked to him about our modernization initiatives within not only equipment but training here at the schoolhouse. And I talked to him about my focus on recruiting more minorities for the Intel Corps. And that leads into my next event. I'm going to go out to the state of Mississippi also in February as I coordinate with Congressman Trent Kelly, who invited me to go to Alcorn State and Jackson State in Mississippi. He's going to go there with me to those two universities, which are historically black colleges and universities, to promote our message to ROTC cadets about the Intel Corps and how great we are as a branch to branch into as a young second lieutenant. So I'm excited about that. And then, of course, we'll continue our training from private to colonel here. We've got a couple of PCC courses, that's pre-command courses, across February and March for those lieutenant colonels and colonels that have been selected for central selection of 05 and 06 positions. So we're excited about that. And I would tell you that, you know, as we continue to look a little further, I just highlight that tickets went on sale for our Fort Huachuca ball that we're having on the 6th of May. I think it's the 6th of May, 6th of May, up in Tucson. And our guest speaker is going to be Lieutenant General retired Bob Ashley, of course, who used to be the CG of USACO, the Army G2, and the Director of DIA. So we're looking forward to that event as well. And then across the summer, we've got changes of commands, as we have every summer, and then looking forward to the MI Hall of Fame the third week in June, as we conducted last year. COVID-dependent, we'll talk about numbers of who's going to be invited to that, but we look to do at least what we did last year for MI Hall of Fame.
A lot going on here at Fort Huachuca.
You're right, a lot going on, and as a former paratrooper and jump master, sir, you got me excited when you mentioned high-performance aircraft in the AO, and with your trips upcoming to Mississippi.
So Drew, yesterday, General Martin and Sergeant Major Helton were leaving from their two-day visit here at Fort Huachuca with the Intel team and USACO, and we had a really great visit with General Martin and Sergeant Major Helton. But we're down at the airfield, getting them ready to get on their C-12 to depart back to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I had U.S. Air Force A-10s doing flybys over Libby Army Airfield. You know, I had our SEMA pilots and instructors doing training, and aircraft were just continuously taking off. We had the 213th Aviation training on the Gray Eagles at the same time. And then we had an unexpected Arizona Guard helicopter come into Libby Army Airfield. This was all after the F-15s and F-16s were doing touch-and-goes on our airfield at Libby.
And none of it was planned.
None of it was planned. So
for his visit.
For his visit. But that's just what goes on every day here at Fort Huachuca. And a lot of folks think Fort Huachuca is a sleepy old hollow installation, but I can tell you, there's a lot going on every day. And as we develop the first Army multiple domain operational range here at Fort Huachuca, it's just going to get that more exciting.
Yes, sir. And looking ahead at next month, you mentioned visiting Mississippi, going down to Jackson State. So I think I'm personally interested in seeing a photo of you and Deion Sanders.
Deion. Coach Prime, right? I'm going to go see Coach Prime. I can't wait.
Super jealous.
That's right. Moving along to our next question then. Sir, last month coming out of the Intelligence Senior Leader Conference, the ISLIC, in my opinion, a rewarding training event with talented MI leaders across our entire Army. You had your first MI General Officer Board of Directors podcast. So that was you, General Potter, the G2, General Braden Camp, the INSCOM CG, and then your Commandant, Colonel Ben Bennick. We also had an MI Sergeant Major podcast. This is our first Coffee with the Command recording, and we've discussed the idea of a conversation with the command, so our major brought that idea up. Could you discuss your vision on the way ahead regarding engagements with Team Huachuca as you continue to get your messaging out to the force?
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. And as you mentioned, the Sergeant Major said it a couple of days ago, conversation with the command. So what I'd like to do is, of course, podcasts are great. You can listen to it anytime. But what I'd like to do is in addition to doing a recording so everybody can hear it if you can't make an event in person, is to do an in-person event, whether it's at Murray Rec, whether it's at Fitch Auditorium, whether it's at the coach at the theater, where soldiers, permanent party, et cetera, civilians, DA civilians, can come and ask questions in person to the Sergeant Major and I, and just have a conversation. Similar to a town hall, like event where we have a message and we present that message, but then we open it up for questions. I just think we get more out of it if we were doing it in person. You can engage face-to-face with the Sergeant Major and I, and we'll add in the Command Chief Warrant Officer and potentially the Commandant as we move forward and continue to up our game on the coffee or conversation with the command. But I think it's just a little bit better when we do it in person. A little bit more personable. We can get that direct interaction. And I believe that our population would like being able to ask questions of the command that they feel necessary to get an answer from. Because as you mentioned at the beginning, I'm a transparent, inclusive leader, making decisions, et cetera. I'll hear everybody's input before I make a decision. But, you know, in the Army, when the leader slaps the table, we move out and we draw fire and we move out aggressively. So I think we're going to continue to evolve it. And, you know, as I mentioned, battlefield circulation last week as my TDY was canceled, popping in and just talking to people unexpectedly, don't be surprised if you see the Sergeant Major and I. Just ask us anything you want. And if we don't know an answer, we'll get you an answer. Both the Sergeant Major and I spent, hours in the DFAC last week. I went to the DFAC on two different occasions last week, which is unusual for me because most of the time I'm TDY, and it's great to go in the DFAC and talk to students. But I also sat down with the nutritionist that just came on board for our health and holistic fitness team with the brigade. And she laid out all the nutritional facts and information that should be happening in our DFAC for our students and their meals. And it was just wonderful to get down into the regulation, okay, on the nutrition for our soldiers. And we hadn't been doing a good job in that to a certain extent because we didn't have a DFAC manager that liaison with the contract that provides our services. But, you know, the Sergeant Major and I being able to get into DFAC last week. Sergeant Major had lunch with soldiers and took multiple photos and posted on her Facebook page. Soldiers, young soldiers, like to see their leaders. We are people too. And, you know, people who've heard me talk, hear me say it all the time, I put my pants on just like you do every day. And we're no different. We just have been in a little longer, have a little higher rank. That's it. Sergeant Major?
Yes, sir. I think, you know, not only do soldiers want to see their leaders, they want to talk to them. You know, it gives us the opportunity to inform them on things that are happening in intel warfighting function, on Fort Huachuca, and in the Army. But it also gives them the opportunity to talk to us as people. You know, I always like to say every engagement is a leader development opportunity. So a young soldier being able to ask the two top leaders in the intel corps, you know, questions from your shared experiences. You know, why did you join the Army? I was doing PT the other day in the 309th, and we're doing hand release push-ups, and the soldier says, "Sergeant Major, why are you still in the Army?" You know, and it kind of set me back a little bit, because you don't really expect those kind of things. But that's what they want to hear. They want to know why we do what we do, how we got to where we got. And there's just a lot to be learned, and there's a lot of value in just people share, being open and transparent and sharing their experiences. Because soldiers want to get to know you. They want to know their leaders. They want to know what they're about, where they came from. Because believe it or not, we probably have a lot more in common than they think.
Couldn't agree more, Sergeant Major. And that's a great point that the soldiers would love to hear your stories. And so as we wrap things up with a final question of what we fielded from online through social media, there was one specifically for you, sir, and talking about the installation and trafficability. A question that posed, could Fort Huachuca consider reopening Irwin Street between Hatfield and Stein Street? And the person who asked this said that the road seems in good repair, and only rarely does foot traffic move through the existing roadway. It could improve traffic flow from off-post locations to the military clothing and dry cleaners building and facilities belonging to the 304th and the 40th ESB. Sir, could you share some thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Drew, you know, as when we received that question, I said, I want to go look at it. So last week, doing my battlefield circulation, I went to Irwin Street between Hatfield and Stein, and I actually walked the entire road, okay? And, you know, it looks like from Hatfield, you could turn there on Irwin and go all the way down to the 304th. But as you go into the area where the clothing sales and the dry cleaners is located, there is a, I'd call it a courtyard. I don't know why it was put there long before I got here. It's been there for many years. Some people say 5 to 7 years as I talk to them. And I got no real good answer about when that road was actually closed. But it was, you know, several years ago is the answer I got. But before you can move towards the 304th MI battalion, and cross the road where it turns, going to the 304th MI battalion, there are concrete benches and there are cinder block walls at the end of this, what looks like a road. So there's really no road there anymore. Now, you could come down, I think it's Irwin, take a right into the parking lot and weave around the dry cleaners and the clothing sales and do a left and then another right and get back on Irwin to go to the 304th. But why would we want all that traffic going through the parking lot? Okay. You could also take a left and go into the parking lot, which I think goes to Freedman Hall. So I personally walked it, as you can tell. There's no legal road there anymore with the concrete benches and the cinder block walls. It's at the end. I don't know whether somebody was trying to put, you know, a relaxing spot there or a lunch spot that people could go out, or was it a smoke break spot? I mean, I don't know. Because it didn't look like it had been repaired anytime lately. You know, it kind of looked like the weather had been just abusing it for many months. I don't know whether people go over there. Well, it wasn't a ashtray smoke pit or anything like that there. There's not any tables there. It's just cinder block walls and concrete benches. So that's kind of stopped the road. But I appreciate the question. I went out and walked it personally myself, and that's why that road remains closed. I'd have to get, you know, more details from the garrison and DPW probably on why the road was closed whenever it was closed. But the state that it's in right now, it cannot be reopened. And I think it takes an extra 2.5 to 4 minutes, depending upon traffic, okay, as the questioner mentioned, to go around, you know, to make the turn by the shopette, to come around by the clothing sales and the dry cleaners to get to the 304th. So no road there right now.
All right, sir. And to that particular listener who was on social media, as you can tell, no question is beneath the CG or the CSM. They read the comments. They are engaged leaders. And so with that, thanks again to our exceptional guests, sir, Sergeant Major. We really enjoyed getting to hear from you. Truly appreciate you taking the time to speak to Team Huachuca.
It's been great, sir. Thank you.
I'd also like to thank our listeners and all those in the community who passed along questions. And for more content, be sure to check out USACO on social media through United States Army Intelligence Center of Excellence Commanding General and Command Sergeant Major Facebook pages, as well as the Military Intelligence Publication Bulletin at their website, mipb.army.mil. I'm Major Drew Kinney, and this has been Coffee with the Command.